verse in Hosea. Hosea verse chapter 3 verse 4. And the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without teraphims. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he came, he found it empty, swept, and garnished. He goeth then and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this generation. And just that well-known verse in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the Lord, of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when I came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you, fear ye not. I'm sure every one of us here would have to hang our heads and say amen to the condition that Greg has brought before us. We, in the words of Daniel, he could say, we have all gone astray. And we spoke this afternoon about the king, about the prince, the priest, and the prophet. And you know, Israel as a nation rejected the king. They rejected the priest and they rejected the prophet. The condition of Israel is disaster at the moment. And we may look at our own selves and say the condition of our assemblies is a disaster. But it's not the fault of God. It's quite remarkable that the Word of God, divinely inspired, and in Hosea, he writes these words, "The children of Israel shall abide many days without a king." At the time that he was writing, there was a king of Israel. At the time that he was writing, there was a king of Judah. And yet he could say, Israel will be without a king. And what happened when Nebuchadnezzar came? The time of the Gentiles. And since that day, Israel has been without a king. And I think as we look at these six things here, they are contrasts. In contrast to the king, and we can think of the words of the Acts of the Apostles, which speak of David as the man after God's own heart. And yet the people of Israel would choose Saul, a man who was higher in stature than anybody else. They are without a sacrifice, because the one who was the true sacrifice, they said, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over him. But not only are they without a sacrifice, on the other side, they're without an image. And we know that through the land of Israel, there were many images. And then it says they were without an ephod, part of the breastplate, wherein it was the Urim and the Thummim. And there are occasions in the Old Testament, there's one particular one that David could say, bring the ephod, that we might know what was about to happen. And Israel had no prophet to tell them what is going to happen. And they had no teraphims. And here again, these are idols that they thought would show them the way. You remember Laban, who had these idols, and Rebecca, or Rachel, took them, hid them in her tent, and in the margin, its teraphims. It was something that they thought would show them the way. And the sad thing is that Israel, because of their sin, rejecting the king, they rejected the sacrifice, and we could say they rejected the priest, and they rejected the prophet. But what a wonderful thing it is that the Lord Jesus presents himself to the nation in the 12th chapter of Luke, the 12th chapter of Matthew. We will know the setup of Matthew's gospel, 5, 6, and 7. We get brought before us the laws of the kingdom, as it were, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 8 and 9, we are presented to look at some of those miracles which the Lord Jesus done. Not necessarily in chronological order, but they're brought together. 10 principal miracles which the Lord Jesus done. And yet in spite of them, and in spite of the Lord Jesus sending out those 70 in chapter 10, Israel rejected their king. And here, the king presents himself in this wonderful way. And the first thing is, he is greater than the temple. We think of that temple that we read about in Haggai. That temple which was a display of the glory of God. But here was one who was greater than the temple. But he was also greater than Jonah, the prophet. If the temple would speak of display, and the Lord Jesus is greater than that, I think Jonah would speak of the work. Because as far as I can see, there's never been a prophet as successful as Jonah. In the book of Jonah, everyone is saved. The mariners in the first chapter, Jonah is saved and the people are saved. And you know, there was a vast number of people in Nineveh that were saved. But here is one who is greater than Jonah. And you know, heaven is going to be full of people that have been saved. What a wonderful thing it will be. Not only will there be full of people that have been saved, but it will be full of people that are like Christ. And he says he's greater than Jonah. But he's also greater than Solomon. Solomon in all his glory, the Lord Jesus is greater than him. And so I think we can see here what we had this afternoon. He's greater than the prophet. He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than the priest. We think of the temple and all that went on in the temple. He's greater than the temple. And also, he's greater than Solomon, that great king. And yet the nation of Israel rejected him. And really what we get in these next few verses would be a little picture of the nation at this present moment. During the time of the Gentiles, they are at this very moment clean. There is no idolatry in the nation of Israel. Indeed, I was reading the other day that the Israel, and those people in Israel, are very often against the Christians. But they're not against you and me as individuals. They're against those amongst the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox that worship idols. And it says in Hosea, there would be no more idols. And true to the words of Hosea, Israel is a clean house. But we know what is going to happen. They're going to, as it says here, take a 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. They're going to accept the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus said in John somewhere, he says, they didn't accept me. I kept in my Father's name and I wasn't accepted. Another shall come in his own name. Him ye will accept. Yes, the Jewish nation one day will accept the Antichrist. And we know at that time there will be, as we had it mentioned, I think from Greg, the time of Jacob's trouble, when Israel will go through that terrible time of persecution and trouble. And at the end of it, according to Zechariah 12, is it, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Doesn't that make you emotional when you consider that the nation of Israel, having had so much sorrow, having had so much problems through that days of tribulation, they will finally look upon him whom they have pierced. And even in that verse in Zechariah, the reverse, I'll just turn to it, Zechariah. Zechariah 12, of course, and verse 10, the end of the verse. Well, I'd read from the beginning, because I will pour upon the house of David. This is God's work. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. In verse 12, in that day, and the land shall mourn every family, the house of David. Is not that the kingly family? And their wives apart. And the family of the house of Nathan, that would be the priestly line, apart. And the family of the house of Levi, the priestly line, and also the family of Shemaniah, apart, speaking probably of the common people. What a day it will be when Israel will acknowledge their faults through the tribulation and will look upon him whom they have pierced. What about us? We've thought about how sad the conditions are amongst us. Comments were made during the week of a time when there were 40 assemblies in fellowship with us in Scotland. Things have gone dark. Things have gone downhill, we might say, from the beginning. But I want to say very clearly, it's not God's fault. The Lord is the same. We quoted the verse from Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And you know, let us encourage ourselves, because God is exactly the same. And in the address that Haggai gives, we had it last year, those of us who were privileged to be here. Who is there left who can see the house as it was? Who amongst us can tell us of the condition in the assemblies 40, 50 years ago? And the prophet here says, verse 4, be strong, yet now be strong, be strong, be strong. And the first thing it is, I am with you, saith the Lord. I think there are three things here. We'll simply mention them. The first thing is the presence of the Lord. The second thing is the word that I coveted with you. We have his word. And the third thing is, my spirit remains amongst you. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, we have everything that we need here. The presence of the Lord amongst us is something that I think we take for granted. We've been brought up in the meetings. We're used to coming on Sunday morning and we remember the Lord. But do we remember that he is there in our midst? What a privilege it is to know that the Lord is in our midst. I said to a brother a little while ago, he was in a very small meeting, and I said, does it worry you that you're in a small meeting? Do you find it hard in the morning meeting? He says, I never find it hard to thank the Lord for what he's done. You know, the Lord is there. He is present in our midst. And we should rejoice in that very fact. And not only so, but we have the Word of God. How precious it is that each one of us, as I look around, on our laps, in our hands, we have a copy of the Word of God. We have no excuse. We can all see it. We can all read it. What a privilege is given to us that we have the Word of God. And also, as we saw, was it yesterday, the Lord Jesus being exalted, the Spirit of God has been given. And we also have the Spirit of God, which will take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And so, dear brethren, we may look at our failures, and it is a good thing, I think, sometimes to look at our failures. I was reading just of late of the story of Gideon, and it speaks of Gideon that the Midianites came along, and they took all the food, and they were impoverished, and they were hungry. But amongst those Israelites, there was one man who was threshing wheat, hid from the rest. You know, the answer to our problems is to get hold of the wheat and to thresh it. To get hold of the word of God. And this is what Gideon did. And when the angel spoke to him, he could say, I'm nothing. We need to acknowledge our complete weakness and our complete failure in maintaining these things. And it was as Gideon acknowledged his weakness that the angel could pick him up and could use him for that wonderful blessing. So just these few thoughts. First of all, the nation of Israel has lost their king. has lost the priest. They've lost the prophet. They're going to go through a terrible time of disaster, but they will return. And there will be a time of wonderful blessing for Israel and for this world. The Lord Jesus is the one who presented himself, greater than Solomon. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than the temple. And let us ever remember, in spite of all our weaknesses, I'm not saying that we should be blasé, we should forget about them. We should repent. We should acknowledge that we've gone wrong. We should acknowledge that we've been the ones that have, as it were, led the others astray. And yet we should always remember that we still, even in this day, the Spirit of God is amongst us. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus himself is with us.